This is a UOA on campus production. This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take notes.
Hello and welcome to Take Note, the podcast where we give you the best notes on everything you need to know from the day you start uni to the day you graduate. I'm your host and current honours student, Shannon, and today we'll be talking about how to get the most out of your study and survive this exam season. We'll be chatting with Senior Lecturer in the School of Psychology, Matt, about how to make your brain work for you when you're studying, and we'll be hearing about the impacts of perfectionism on study. I remember when I first entered the world of study, I had romantic visions of sitting in a big old library surrounded by piles of books and being excited to be all grown up and smart. But once I actually started, I was a bit confused knowing exactly what studying is, what counts as studying, and how to do it effectively. So just in case you ever wondered the same thing, we have a senior lecturer from the School of Psychology, Matt, here at the U of A to chat about how to get the most out of your brain. Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So firstly, could you help us define what studying and study actually looks like? It can be hard to know what's expected of us and what counts when we're told to actually go and study.
Yeah, sure thing. From my perspective, studying is when you're actively engaging with your course materials, and the goal of studying is generally for you to retain and understand the fundamental concepts of the courses that you're enrolled in. So students often think about studying in the context of some sort of end of semester exam situation. And these sorts of situations are really important to study for because you're often being asked to answer questions where you'll need to rely on your memory, particularly because you might not have access to any notes or textbooks in an exam. But even in courses where you don't have exams or tests like this, it's really important that you engage in study so that you're able to build up a knowledge base of the core or fundamental concepts. And generally speaking, as we move from first year to second year and then on to third year and so on, we're building upon this core knowledge base, and you'll need to understand the basics of a topic area so we can then begin to understand the more advanced concepts as we introduce them and as we begin to ask you to apply this knowledge in different ways.
So how can students work with their brain to best retain info and move new information from short-term to long-term memory?
Well, first, we should talk about what we mean by short-term and long-term memory. So our short-term memory is a limited capacity and limited duration storage. We generally think about it as being able to store around 7, so 5 to 9 bits of information, and we only store it for around 20 to 30 seconds. So I might tell you my phone number, but if you don't write it down after about 20 or 30 seconds, you probably won't remember it. On the other hand, our long-term memory appears to have unlimited capacity and unlimited duration. So think of all the things you have done and everything that you know. You have a little universe inside your head crammed full of information, and it gets bigger and bigger every day as you learn more and more things. And some of this information you'll remember for the rest of your life. You might live until you're 100 and remember things from when you were 3 or 4 years of age. Now, that's a really, really long time. And when we're talking about long-term memory, it's useful to think about 3 main processes: encoding, storage, and retrieval. Encoding is getting the information into our memory, storage is holding it there, and retrieval is the act of accessing this information so we can use it. When I talk about these processes, it makes the brain sound a bit like a computer, and in some senses it is. But our memory storage is really different to memory storage on a computer. If you save something on a computer, unless something goes wrong, it should be a perfect copy of what you encoded, and it should never disappear.
Mm.
Our memory doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, we forget a lot of the information that we are trying to remember, and a lot of what we remember is not a perfect copy of the original. This can make trying to remember all the things you are supposed to be remembering in your classes here at uni really, really hard. But thankfully, there are some study approaches that you can employ that, with practice, will lead to effective storage and retrieval of that information.
Yeah, so what are some of, I guess, those more effective study methods then?
Well, when students think about studying, they often think about activities such as re-watching lecture recordings or reading back over their notes and highlighting or underlining things. And while these activities can be an important part of studying, we know from many, many different studies that these activities on their own are not the most effective way to retain information. Numerous studies have shown that the most effective approach to retaining information is spaced practice and self-testing. So what do I mean by this? I'm sure you're all familiar with the idea of cramming before an exam. So a week before an exam, or even the night before, hopefully not, you start to do your studying and you try to cram as much information in as you can. And while this is better than doing no studying at all, it's certainly not the most effective way to retain this information. It's far more effective to begin studying much earlier and spacing out your study sessions. So it doesn't have to be every day. It could be every other day or every 3 days. But if you want to try to set aside regular, repeated study sessions over an extended period, I mean, half an hour every 3 days or 3 or 4 weeks, over 3 or 4 weeks, would be much more effective than 12 hours just the day before an exam. And aside from spacing out the studying, the other key activity is to actively self-test. And one way to do this is to take a lecture that you've watched, write down a list of the main things you need to remember, and sometimes lecturers, hopefully good lecturers, will include these dot points in a summary at the end of the lecture. Read over those dot points and try to memorize them. Then cover them up, and on another piece of paper, try to write them down from your memory. So don't look, just from memory. And once you've done this, uncover the original and see how you went, noting any of the mistakes that you made. Then repeat this procedure over and over until you're making no errors or very few errors. And then a day or so later, repeat this procedure, and a day or so after that, repeat it again, and so on. And what you'll notice is that each time you're making fewer and fewer errors, and you should be retaining more and more of the information.
Mm.
So if you do those two things, use regularly spaced study sessions in which you self-test, you'll be effectively encoding the information you need, which means you'll be able to effectively retrieve this information when you need it. And hopefully not just for an exam, but in a few years' time, or 2 years' time, 10 years' time, when you've graduated and you're out in the workforce applying all the wonderful things you've learned at uni in all sorts of amazing and interesting ways.
Yeah, and I like that because I think it takes the pressure off doing a lot of study at a time as well, because you're spacing it out. You don't have to do massive, 6-hour blocks of study at a time. You can really make that smaller. And
absolutely. If you're organised, then, and you do this regular, it becomes part of your routine, and it's trying to cram this stuff in can be really stressful, and we want to avoid that as much as we can.
Yeah. And are there any, I guess, commonalities or habits from students that are academically successful at uni?
Absolutely. I mean, so one thing, like I said, being organised, so knowing when your due dates are, keeping on top of tasks, it's really, really important. It's also really important not to put things off or avoid them until the very last minute. And while on the one hand, you should be aiming at doing a great job with all of your assignments, it isn't too good to be too much of a perfectionist, because few things are ever really perfect. And if you aim for perfection, you might never actually get anything finished. And lastly, I find that students that are interested in their studies tend to do much better than students that are not. And I know that we all find some courses more interesting than others, but if overall you're not finding your time here at uni to be interesting in what you're doing, then maybe you should have a think about what it is that you're studying and why. And maybe you should be studying something different, something that you find interesting and that will make you motivated and excited about what it is that you're meant to be learning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you sort of started to mention it there, but I think a lot of people, you know, perfectionists aside, it feels like you should, you know, be using, I guess, every waking moment that you had for study, you know, especially, I guess, in those pinch points of the semester. And, you know, particularly when you're in the pursuit of that ideal HD. But how much is, I guess, enough study?
It's a really good question. I guess it's going to depend from person to person and situation to situation. But we know that you study more effectively when you're alert and when you're awake. But you don't want to be doing things like relying on caffeine or anything else to keep you alert, because if you have too much caffeine, you won't sleep well and then you'll be tired the next day and it'll end up in this sort of cycle of ineffective studying. So if you're feeling tired, you've got to get up and go for a walk, go for a stretch, get into the sunshine. And it's really important that you do take breaks. But if you follow my advice from earlier about the spaced practice, then taking breaks, it shouldn't be a problem, because soon enough you'll be back at doing your studying the next day or the day after. And this is why setting routines like this can be really, really important.
Yeah. And I guess on that, a lot of students have so much going on in their lives, whether it's part-time work or, you know, a social life and all that kind of stuff. So I guess how much of our lives should we actually be giving up to study?
From my perspective, as a lecturer, I'm hoping that you're not giving up any of your life for your study. Hopefully you're loving being at uni and you're loving this active learning process. But in terms of the kind of the techniques that I've been talking about, the spaced practice, the self-testing, if you can set aside half an hour every day or every other day, I'm sure you'll be amazed at what you're able to learn and how much of this information you're able to retain and retain really effectively. I guess we know that everything gets easier the more you practice it. So whether that's learning a language or driving a car or learning about psychology or chemistry or journalism or accounting or whatever it is that you happen to be studying.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all that insight, Matt.
It's my pleasure. I hope it really helps and
I'm sure it will. Thank you.
Hey fellow students, my name is Mylan and welcome to Mindful Moment, brought to you by the Student Health and Wellbeing Team. Balancing university studies and life responsibilities can be challenging, especially when you're trying to prepare for exams. You're likely to have a lot going on and might even be feeling stressed or anxious. However, small steps such as creating a weekly study routine, prioritizing tasks, and accessing university academic and well-being support can be a huge help when you're juggling these responsibilities. Good luck with your study and exam preparation. Thanks for taking this moment with me. Your well-being is important, and until next time, take care and be kind to yourself. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at U of A Student Wellbeing.
We all want to get good grades and do well at university, but for some people, striving for perfection can make studying extra stressful. Student Crystal shares her experience with perfectionism.
So hi everyone, my name is Crystal. I'm a third year student studying economics and finance. And today I'm here to share a story about perfectionist and how you can manage that, and especially during exam period and study tough time period. I still remember back in first year, for my first semester, I had four exams going on for the exam period. So I don't want to say I'm perfectionist, but it is the real fact. So being a perfectionist, I guess you're trying to do as best as you can in all subjects. And now with four exams going on in four different subjects, it's quite tough, especially with the very short of time for you to prepare for your exams. So normally it's just about 2 weeks for you to prepare exams. So squeezing all content into 2 weeks for four exams, it's a bit tough. I'm sure some of you have also come across that as well. But yeah, I just feel like it's very important for yourself to not push too hard on yourself, like not setting realistic goals and not being too over expectation because anything can go wrong. And I feel like being a perfectionist as well, you're trying to really just do whatever you can and, you know, give all you can to get the best score. But sometimes shit happens and it just doesn't work. So I was trying to obviously revise for all subject and realize I didn't have enough time, don't have that energy to cover all four subjects. So pretty much had a mental breakdown because it was just too tough. And very interesting was I was sick as well at the last week of the exam. So everything just add up into a whole big ball and eventually it explode. So some subject I know I'm more comfortable with, so I then probably spend less time with those subjects and trying to focus on the actual content that I was struggling with, such as probably math courses that I did back in the days. So I think trying to prioritize things and manage the time based on that. But also I think chatting with someone is also important, like having a social network, because when you're going for all these for me, being a social person, just trying really want to try to speak with someone and share that feeling, although the person might not have experienced that, but still a good opportunity to have someone to listen to you and just release all that feelings. Don't cut all your social network during exam period. It's also a very important thing. So I think that's how I manage it. But I definitely went to learning center that could help with my academics. Especially during exam period, it's very important to take care of your health, like your body, and make sure you're not sick. This is the most important thing that I've learned across the 3 years. But also to prioritize things and try to manage things in how it works for you and actually not what you expect, because expectation and what you can do is totally different things. And I guess just trying to appreciate what you have done and telling yourself that you're good enough and you have done well enough, rather than just saying, oh, you need to do more, because sometimes you just need to. I think self-care is very important as well. So but I guess at the end, it's definitely not end of the life. I always believe that university, studying, is not 100% of your life. You have so much more outside of life. That's, working, friends, family. There's so many things that are more important than studying, I think. So my goal, for example, for myself, I'm working part-time now and studying full-time. It's a lot of, a lot going on. But don't think studying or university is the whole part of your life. There's so much more going on outside, and eventually you need to find a job, and that's probably what's more important in the future. So I feel like perfectionism for me, it's now more of achieving what you can do and give all you can, and the outcome it is what it is. I think the most important thing is you have actually tried, you have actually put in your effort, and the outcome, there's so many factors that external factors that could affect the outcome. So in this case, I would just say for me, perfectionist is just do whatever you can, and it is what it is, and hopefully it's a very good and good outcome. But I mean, yes, things can happen, and I mean, setting high goals is good, but also be optimistic if you don't reach that point. I think that's at least what I do. I'm trying to set goals, getting HD in subjects and stuff, but sometimes you have that one test or one assignment that can change the entire idea. And therefore, I think just being open about it and accept changes and accept that you're good enough. Really, I think a lot of people don't really realize how good they are with all these high grades and how much they've done. But just be appreciative to yourself and be thankful for what we have done is really important.
The that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for listening in to today's episode of Take Note. If you enjoyed the show, then please follow us on Spotify and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts so that other students can find us too. You can also head over to Instagram where you can follow us at uoa.oncampus and send us a DM there. Let us know what you think of the show. We would love to hear from you. This episode was produced by myself, and you can check out our show notes for any extra study and exam resources. But I'll see you next fortnight for another episode of Take Note.
Take note.
Take note.
Take note.
Take note.
Take note.
Take note.